evening we want to conclude our discussion together on the subject of the challenge of Christian struggles with their faith. And this morning we looked at and we began to look at the reality that things can happen in our lives that have no rhyme or reason, and that we can begin to wonder and ponder whether or not we are in a right relationship with God, or whether or not our faith is really helping us in the struggles and difficulties that we have in life. And as we examine probably the best Bible example of one who had a very strong struggle with his faith, that is the man Job. And this morning we finished up looking at the fact that he suffered extreme tragedy. We went through the text and saw the prosperity was ruined. He lost his children. He lost the faith and the standby of his wife when her faith weakened. And then he lost his own personal health. And added to all of that, he didn't understand why he was going through the struggle. And then his friend falsely accused him of not recognizing sin in his life and being unable and not willing to repent. And so that leads us to the third part of his struggle, and that is Job struggles and lashes out at God. Now, as I told you this morning, it doesn't mean that when we have struggles and when we have difficulties that we don't have questions. Job had a lot of questions, and Job made some very clear statements. And I want you to look with me in Job chapter 19, and I'm going to read a couple of verses here, beginning in verse 7. It says, "If I cry concerning wrong, I am not heard. If I cry aloud, there is no justice. He has fenced up my way so that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path. He has stripped me of my glory. He has taken the crown from my head. He has kindled his wrath against me. He counts me as one of his enemies. His troops come together and build up their road against me. They encamped around my tent." Now again, Job is stipulating and he is making a statement about how he feels. And he feels this way because of the circumstance that he finds himself in. And so remember, he's lost his prosperity. He's lost his family. His personal health has been injured. His wife's faith has weakened. His friends have accused him falsely of being unwilling to repent of his sin. And all of this is preying upon the mind of Job as he struggles with understanding why his faith must endure this struggle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I told you this morning, I don't have an answer, and God doesn't always readily give us an answer why we struggle in the things that we have to struggle with in our individual lives. The answer is not always evident. Sometimes it is. Sometimes people struggle in life because of bad decisions they make. Sometimes they struggle through life because they made poor choices. And sometimes it's very evident and obvious to that. But there are many times when those obvious answers are not there. And therefore, we, in our desperation, and in our struggle, and in a moment of weakness, we may lash out and we may ask some outlandish things. And we're going to see that Job asked for a lot of things, and then when he got what he asked for, he found out he'd have been better had he not asked for it. And so we want to see if we can learn anything about that. And so the real question that we have, remember, we read this morning that in all of this, Job never charged God foolishly and never lost his faith and integrity with God. But the real question now comes, under the pressure, and who can say that he wasn't under pressure? And who can say that there are times in our lives when we will be under pressure because of circumstances that we have to deal with? Who's to say, and what will be the answer to whether our faith will buckle? The real question is, will your faith buckle, and will it revert back when it is challenged? That's really the question we need to ponder. Job's challenge, he's often suffering for seemingly no valid reason. Remember, his friend said that he was struggling because he was in sin and he was unwilling to acknowledge it. And because he was unwilling to acknowledge it, that's the reason he suffered. Number two, before one crisis begins, is over, another crisis begins. It seems that there was one thing after another. You ever had days like that? Ever had times in your life where you're afraid for the phone to ring, you're waiting for the next shoe to drop, and you just don't know what's going to happen next? And it just seems like it's one thing after another. That's what Job experienced. And then it may question, why did God do this, or why did he let this happen? And again, we who are God's people understand that God does not bring evil into our lives. God does not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but with every temptation, we'll make a means to escape it. But God will allow our faith to be challenged, our faith to be tested, for us to have to go through the difficulties and the infirmities and the weaknesses of life as part of the package deal living here on earth. We're going to have to experience that, and he's not always told us why some people seem to have more of it than others, or other people seem to have less than others. We don't know the answer to that. And oftentimes we make the struggle more difficult because we seek solace in answers that there are not going to be forthcoming. And so instead of helping us deal with the difficulty, it makes the process much more difficult. You see, it puts our faith to the test. Are we going to continue to hold on to God even though we have to go through a struggle? And you see, that's the challenge, and that's the challenge of our faith. Our faith is going to be challenged whether when we have the struggle, when we have the difficulty, when we have the discomfort, and when we have no rhyme or reason why it's happening, will our faith buckle? Will it weaken? And will we lose our confidence in the God that we serve? And so that leads us to another question. And that is the question concerning the faith. What about our faith? What about our faith in time of struggle and in time of desperation or in time of uneasiness that has no answers? What about our faith? What will our faith do and what can it not do? Well, Job's faith was that he wished that his words were written down. In Job chapter 19, verse 23 and 24, here's what Job said. He said, "Oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever." You see, Job felt that if he was given an opportunity to be in the presence of God and to lay out his case, to lay out his case and to lay out how he had lived his life, how he had demonstrated his faithfulness, how he had strived to live for God, how he had tried to be faithful to the law that God gave him. If he was just allowed to give his side of the situation, that all things could be clarified and things would be better. You see, he wanted to, it mops down to mark my words. It says, let's look at my record. Now let me ask you something. You think God knew his record? You think God knew the kind of faith that Job had? Didn't he tell Satan that? He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no man like him on the face of the earth." Now that statement wasn't made by just anybody. That statement was made by God himself. God, who knows all men and knows the hearts of all men, he was well aware of what Job had done. He was well aware of Job's faithfulness. He was well aware of his dedicated commitment to God. He knew that. And you know what? Even in this distress that Job's in, down deep, Job knows that too. Because he believed in God. The time will come when the truthfulness of what I have said will be borne out. He says, "I haven't committed." He kept telling his friends, "I haven't done any sin. I haven't committed sin." He wasn't being arrogant. He wasn't trying to say he was above sin. He was saying that all the sin that he had committed, he had sought forgiveness for, and he was guilty of nothing that he knew, or he had not transgressed any of God's law. In Job's mind, he was where God wanted him to be. Now, again, we need to understand it is the pressure of the situation and the accusation of the friends that continually builds on Job and causes him to ask these questions. But you know, in chapter 19 and verse 25, he makes this statement. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he at last will stand on earth.
You see, he still had confidence in God. He still believed God would redeem him. He still believed God would help him. And he knew that God was there. But he didn't feel God's presence. And he didn't feel God's presence because of the circumstances that he found himself in and all the evil that had befallen him. He did not feel the presence of God. He wasn't sure that God was there. He wasn't sure that God had not become his enemy. And he wasn't sure that he was where he needed to be. Now why? It was because of the circumstance. It was because of the struggle.
And it was because of the constant pressure and the beat of the drum of his friends that he was guilty and he was unwilling to admit it. And over and over and over again, Job professes his innocence. But you know what? That doesn't bring him one iota closer to knowing why he's suffering these difficulties. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? All the reason that you want to know, and all the reasons that you can try to think up in your mind, and all the answers that you might want, will not help you one whit to begin to deal with the struggles that your faith can sometimes go through. That's not what's going to help you. That's not what's going to help you be able to overcome the struggle. You don't need to know why. If you needed to know why, God would tell you why. If you needed a reason, God would tell you a reason. But the fact that he doesn't demonstrates that we don't need to know in order to allow our faith to be put to the test. I want you to take your Bible out, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now here's a passage that we've read, and you've probably read many, many times. And you know what? You know that it's true, but it is difficult sometimes to understand the truth of something until you experience it. Listen to what Peter wrote. Earlier he says that we've been given all things. In verse 3 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, it says, who has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 4, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, kept by the power of God, through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Now we know that's true. We know that we have a living hope. We know that we have an inheritance promised by God if we keep faithful, and it's reserved in heaven by the power of God for salvation to be revealed in the last time. Now we know that. We know that because the Bible teaches that. But look at the next verse. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. If need be. That's the key to that verse. This hope that you have in its inheritance, and this salvation that's reserved in Christ, that's laid up for us to give us at the last time, those things that we know, those things that we're assured of, those things that we're promised of, that we know of, we better never, ever forget them. We better never forget what God promised us. And we should never underestimate or think that God forgot what he said. Because God doesn't forget. We know those things. But if need be, we have various trials. Look at verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, having been found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what? You need to have your faith go through the test of fire to be purified and to be refined. And that cannot be accomplished in any other way than putting your faith to the test. How else would you learn to depend upon God? How else would we learn to trust God? How else would we learn that God's truth, that he will never leave us nor forsake us? How would we learn that emphatically if not by the trials and the struggles that we have in our lives?
How would we learn that? Turn over to Romans for a moment. In Romans chapter 5. Verse 3. It says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. But also, we glory in tribulation. I glory in tribulation. How do you do that? How do you glory in difficulty? In time of testing. In time of trial. In time of tribulation. How can we have the courage and the character to endure and to persevere? Well, that's the challenge of your faith. That's your faith being challenged. And the answer to that is, you lean upon what you know, and you go to where your strength is at, and you don't waver, and you don't doubt, and you press on, and you endure. Because in the end, you will overcome. Now, I want to tell you, if you don't believe that, then you will even struggle more. And you will fail. And sometimes we fail because we don't trust God enough. And because we don't depend upon God enough. And then something takes the proverbial wind out of our sails and brings us back down to reality that we can't do this alone. You know, life can make you buckle your knees. To understand that you need God. And you need Him all the time. And you know when you need Him most? Is when everything is going right in your life. Children are doing well. Your children are doing well. Your health is good. Things are good in your life. Things seem to be going in the right way. And you've been very blessed. And you're in a very good place. How quickly can that change? How quickly can everything be turned upside down? I'll tell you how quick it can happen in a second. But if you haven't prepared for that, it's going to not just catch you off guard, it's going to catch your faith off guard. And so you've got to prepare for the time when your faith will be challenged, because it will be challenged. It's not that it could happen. It's not that it might happen. It is going to happen. Your faith and my faith is going to be challenged. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how many times, but it is going to happen during your lifetime. It is going to happen. And so God says you need to prepare for it. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have a relationship with God, and a very close relationship where you talk to Him, where you depend upon Him, when you're thankful, when you have gratitude in your heart, if you don't have that relationship with God when it's good, you will never turn to God when it is bad. And do you believe that's true? The way that you develop a relationship with God is when things are good in your life. Now, He had confidence that one would redeem Him. And the Redeemer means a deliverer. One that would defend Him. Common ideal for deliverance in time of trouble. When all is said and done, I trust God will deliver me from my suffering and will do the right thing. Everything that was happening to Job, all the questions he had, all the accusations he had to answer, all the discomfort he felt, in the final analysis and deep in his mind, deep in the resources of his mind, he knew that God was there, God cared, and God would not let him down, and God would do the right thing. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the same position our faith has to be in. We have to, no matter what's happening, no matter what the circumstances is, no matter what the trial is, never forget who you are and never forget the God that you serve. He is greater than any difficulty this life can throw at you. He is difficult than any tribulation you may ever face. And He has more power than anyone on the face of this earth to be able to deliver you. And you know what? We should know that better than anyone else on this earth. And we should never, ever forget that.
Even in the bitterest of suffering, He held steadfastly to His faith.
That doesn't mean He didn't have questions. That doesn't mean He didn't have anxiety. It didn't mean that He didn't lash out from time. It didn't mean that. But it meant that He never, in the resources of His mind, ever doubted that God would see him through. Do you have that kind of faith?
You know how I would answer that? I think I do. I think I do.
But what will happen when we get into these situations?
We're going to find out. And sometimes what we find out is not very pleasant.
He did not have blind faith. He relied on the evidence. He had seen the path. Why did he believe God was there? Because God had always been there. He relied on the relationship he had in the past. He knew what God had done for him in his life. He knew how he had served God. He knew how God had taken care of him. He relied on his past relationship, and it caused him to never doubt, even in the face of the terrible circumstances that he had.
Job's faith could look beyond the present circumstances.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the key. That you've got to look beyond the present circumstance. Whatever present circumstance our faith finds ourselves in, it is a temporary situation. It will not last forever, and it will end. It began and it will end. I don't know how long, I don't know under what circumstance, but it is a temporary situation, and we have to look beyond the present time to things down the road. And you know what? That's just hard for us to do because we're kind of here and now people. We just deal with the present, and we don't think long term. Still had faith in time of uncertainty about so many things, he still trusted God.
Death grip on one is one thing, but God was God, and he would do the right thing.
Now, I don't know how anyone could have endured what Job endured. But he did.
And God gave him the ability. And remember, God says he won't allow you to be tempted or won't have you to endure more than you can handle.
Whatever Job had to handle, he had the ability to handle it, and God knew he did. Now, Job might have not known he could handle it. And I think that's true about a lot of us. We think we don't know really how much we can handle because we haven't been in that situation. And you know what? I'm not lining up, but I want to be to see if I am. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if that becomes my lot, and I have to face a very difficult struggle, I believe that God promised me that He'll see me through that. He'll see me through that, and I'll get through that. Because I know that God will do the right thing. You know, I might doubt a lot of things. And I might not be sure about a lot of things, even about my own faith. But there's one thing that I don't have any reservation about, or I don't doubt at all, and I don't doubt in the power and the mighty promises that God has made me and the faithfulness of Him to His Word. There's never been a time in my life when I ever doubted that God didn't mean what He told me. You know, He made the statement that all things work together for good that love the Lord. I'll tell you what, I've been sitting in the bed crying my eyes out, not knowing what way was up and down. And I'm thinking about that passage. All things work together for good to love the Lord. But how is that working out? That's not working out too good. If that all is working for my good, how is it doing it? Well, I didn't know it then. But I found it out later. But you see, you got to trust Him. You got to go through the struggle in order to be better at the end. He shall stand on the earth at last.
You know, this is a legal term as a witness stands up in court. I know that my vindicator lives and he will rise up to speak in my case.
Job believed that God would take up his spot. He believed God would defend him. Even though he was being charged by his friends unmercifully, even though he was being falsely accused, he believed that God would be in his corner and he would stand up and give witness as his defense. You know why Job believed that? Because he knew that God knew him. He knew that God knew his heart. He knew that God knew his circumstances and his love for God, and he leaned upon that because he knew that God would do the right thing. You know what? God knows me. He knows my heart. He knows what my hope is. He knows my confidence in Him. He knows me. He knows me better than anyone else. And so I can trust Him. I can trust Him to do the right thing. You know, it's important to ground our faith deep before the storm comes. We need to build a very strong relationship with God. We need to have a very good prayer life. We need to talk to God a lot. And we need to communicate with Him regularly. That's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. That's why we're told to make prayer as a regular part of life. This is the avenue of communication that God left with us so that we could communicate with our Creator. And we need to develop that relationship to be very close, very tight, and very dependent, that we trust God and we depend upon God more than we depend upon any person in this world. Now, you know, there's a lot of people I love in this world. And there's a lot of people that I have a lot of confidence in. And there's a lot of people that I would put my hands in their hands because I trust them without question. I feel that way about Rita. I trust her immensely. I trust her with any part of my life. I don't have any reservation about that. I trust her, but as much as I love her and I trust her, I love and trust God even more. But you know what? That helps you when you get into difficulty. You know, there's much we don't know and can't understand, much less can we explain it. But I need to hold firmly to what I know to be right. What do I know to be right? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I know that's right. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I know that that is right. I love you and I gave my life for you. I know that and I believe that. And if I never forget those things, then I always will put my confidence and trust in God instead of myself. And one of the biggest problems we have with the challenge to our faith and our struggles with our faith is that we try to do it alone. And that's when we get into trouble. I'm convinced from my life and my study of God's Word and observation and the things that I've seen that there are things in this life that can happen to you that no way did God ever intend for you or I to bear those burdens alone. No way. Because He knew we could not. And that's why He gave us the avenue of prayer. That's why He told us to build our relationships up in Christ. That's why He tells us to lean upon Him in time of need, because He knew that those times would come in our lives. We need to hold firmly to what we know. Now, that does not mean that we will not struggle with our faith. All these things I'm telling you doesn't mean that there's going to be times that you and I are going to struggle with our faith. We are going to. Faith does not mean we have questions about God. That we deal with uncertainty. That we have moments of discouragement. We all have them. It happens. Things are not going the way we planned. Things are not moving in the direction that we hoped they would move in. And things are not being done the way that we would like them done. Those things happen in our life. Things come up that are unplanned. Things come up that we didn't expect. Things come up that throw a monkey wrench in everything that we plan to do. It happens. It's part of life. It is unavoidable. It's going to happen. Now, does that mean it's going to be pleasant? No. Does that mean that it's good to go through it? No, it doesn't mean that either. But it does mean, what it does mean is, don't let it destroy your relationship with God. And don't let it destroy your faith. And don't let it destroy the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Because I'm telling you, brethren, there's things that can happen in your life that can do all three. It can destroy your life physically. It can destroy your relationship with God. And it can destroy your faith in Christ. Don't think you're above it. I'm not above it. You're not above it. Satan is real good at what he does. He's going to take the discomfort and difficulties of our lives, and he's going to try to turn them over in our lives to cause us to doubt God. To cause us to doubt our faith. To cause us to doubt God's promises. To cause us to doubt our faith and confidence in God. He's going to try to weaken that. And it can do it. If you let it. But you've got to let it. What it does mean is that I need to reach out of the muck and the mire. And I need to hold on for dear life. And know that God is with me. That no matter how far I sink in the mire and the muck, God will lift me out of it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's not a challenge that you could find in your life and in your faith that God wouldn't lift you out of it? Do you believe there's such a circumstance He couldn't save you? He couldn't bring you out? Bring you to the top of the mountain? It means that we have to have a dog determination. You know, the world might beat me, but I'm going down fighting. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to cave in. And I pray to God to give me faith every day that as I get older, I'm more understanding than I have been any time in my life, that my life can end at any time. I've always known that, but as I get older, it becomes a lot more of a, not a hypothetical thing, it becomes a real thing that I think about often. That my life can end at any time. And you know what? I'm not wanting my life to end anytime soon. But if it does, I want to be right with God. Because then it don't matter. Then it really doesn't matter. And that's how we have to live our life. No matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to the people I love, no matter what decisions people make that hurt my life and bring me discouragement and bring pain and anguish into my life, I'm not going to allow it to steal my crown and my hope in Christ. Do you have that kind of faith? Are you that determined to win this race that you and I are in? Do we have that kind of faith? Well, I want to conclude tonight by reminding you of what happened to Job. Remember, I told you that we're not always going to know the reason or why of what we've done. And remember, there was a case in the book of Job where Job said, if I just could talk to God, if I could just have His ear, if I could just have an audience with God, I could clear this up. In chapter 38 of the book of Job, Job got what he asked for. He got to talk with God. And you know how that talk went? You know how it began? Job! I want you to stand up like a man, and I want to give you some questions, and I want to see if you can answer me. And you remember what he began to ask him? He says, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth, and I made the boundaries for the seas and the land, and I created the stars and the heavens, where were you? How did I do that? And then he talks about the great things that he created and the differences in those things and the power that they had and the things that he was able to do and how he can take care of them. And he asked Job, how did I do that? And you know what the Bible says about Job? It says he put his hand over his mouth. And you know what he said? He said, I have acted foolishly. I should have kept my mouth shut. And I should have not delved into things that are too wonderful for me to understand. I want to tell you the truth tonight, ladies and gentlemen. At the end of Job's life, he received double of what he lost. Now that will never take place of the children he lost. That will never take place of all the pain and the anguish he had. And I want you to know that through it all, Job never knew about this test and this discussion with Satan. And he never did know and was promised that he would have it better at the end. He didn't know that. He didn't know that. But yet he held on to his integrity. And you remember one of the things that Job had to do? Job was instructed by God. He told the three friends, you go and you offer sacrifice for sin because you charged God, you charged Job inaccurately and foolishly, and you need to repent of that, and you go to Job and you let Job offer sacrifices for you. God was listening to that discussion. And he said those three friends sinned against Job because they charged him inaccurately. And so, what I'm telling you tonight is that we will have struggles with our faith from time to time. Those challenges will come. And our faith is going to be put to the test. And what will happen in the future, I don't know. Job said he hoped for a bodily resurrection, and indeed that will happen. He refused to let go of the future. He refused to let go of his hope. And he focused on a life beyond and yearned for it. Do you focus on heaven? You know, I want to go to a place that I don't have to deal with the injustice, the ingratitude, the selfishness, the heartache, the misery, the pain, the anguish that other men can put other men through. And nothing you can do about it. I hate to see people suffer. I hate to see people weep at a funeral. You know, I could get through a funeral doing it if I didn't have to look at the family. If I didn't have to look at the family, I could do it. But it just tears me up because I know what they're feeling. I've been where they're at. I understand the pain. I understand the loss. I understand the void. I understand it, and I feel helpless to be able to help it. But I understand. But that's when you need to focus on what you know. When you have a loved one that suffers and dies or goes through it, even if he's taken quickly, if they've been faithful to God and true, take a lot of comfort. You know they're better off. You know that they are with the Lord and they are being taken care of, and they live their whole life in order to die in Christ, and dying in Christ is the best way you can die. And there's not enough money in the world to buy what comfort that brings to people who love them. But I cannot do it for you. Nobody can. You have to do it for yourself. You have to focus on what you have better. Job's life got better later, but he had no reason to think and believe that it would. But it did. And you know what? Our life will get better too. And you know what? Hope is the anchor of our soul. I have hope in Christ, and that anchor is sure, and it will hold me through any storm in life. And Christ endured looking to the future. He said he looked, he set his heart upon the race to endure it, to finish it. And that's what we have to do. We're in a race, and we have to look to the finish line, and we have to endure until we get there. Tomorrow may be better, but tomorrow may not be better. I don't know, and you don't know. Tomorrow is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow holds. One thing I can know I shall see God, for I shall see him as he is. 1 John 3 and verse number 2. And so tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think, the next time your faith is challenged and you're struggling to hold on to what you know and what you have confidence in and what you have trust in, never forget that God keeps his promises. He doesn't make idle promises. When he said that it will all work together for us to good, it will if we will allow it. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will if we do not forsake and leave him. And when he says that he'll give us a crown of life and that we can be with him forever and ever to sing through the ages with the saints of all ages forever and ever in a place that we cannot even begin to comprehend the beauty, the majesty, and the splendor of, when God says he'll give it to us as an eternal home, God keeps his promises. Keep your focus on the finish line. The finish line is the end of your life or the coming of the Lord, whichever one comes first. And if we keep our faith and our focus on trusting God and putting our hand in his hand, there's not a struggle, there's not a tribulation, there's not a challenge that your faith will ever have that will ever overcome it. If you truly, truly trust and lean upon God. Now I want you to notice something I didn't promise you. I didn't say it wouldn't hurt. I didn't say it would lessen your tears. And I didn't say it would be easy to endure, did I? I didn't say any of that. Because God didn't promise that. It's kind of like an old song that became a pretty popular hit for Lynn Anderson. I never promised you a rose garden. And God never promised you a ride that might not get bumpy from time to time. But God did promise you one thing. No matter how bumpy the ride, you'll survive it. And you'll overcome it. And you'll be better at the end than you were at the beginning. The only problem is, do you believe it? And will you put his faith and your faith to the test? If you're here tonight, you're not a child of God. I want you to know that God loves you. God cares for you, and that's why he sent his son to die for you. To do for you what you could not do for yourself, and that is to find a remedy for your sin that separates you from God. But all you have to do is believe it. Repent of your sin. Acknowledge it. Confess his name before men. And submit to the waters of baptism in order to become a child of the King. To be part of the kingdom of God. To be part of the family of God. To become his child. Adopted into the greatest family that this world has ever known. And to have all the promises of inheritance that every child has in. You know, it doesn't make any difference if you're the eldest or the youngest in this family. Everybody is promised. There's no double portion for the oldest. Everybody gets the same. But you're going to have to endure your struggle of life. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, and you've been struggling with it, and you've been having difficulty, and you're not sure, and you don't know what the answer is, I would suggest to you tonight, go back to what you know. Lean upon what you know to be true and let God help you bear your burden and help you endure your struggle. And he will. God, do you think, I want you to think about something. Did God send his son to die and make this plan before time began for us to lose it all because of the struggle that we go through in this life without giving us the means to endure it and be able to overcome it so we can be with him forever? Surely, God in his infinite wisdom knew there would be times that we're going to need him more than other times. The only question is, will you lean upon him or will you try to do it by yourself? I suggest go with God. You're always in better hands. If we're subject to the Lord's invitation, we bid you to come forward as together we stand. Have a seat.